concert. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. As you know, we've been talking the whole month, and we will continue. The theme is living intuitively, and what better topic for Mother's Day, since women's intuition, and particularly mother's intuition, is some of the greatest intuition that we'll ever have examples of. Today's talk is entitled Wired for Love, Wired for Love. And I'm going to show you a little something, if it's set up yet, first. So, just let me know when you're ready.
Okay.
I'm ready. She's ready.
No.
So, some of you may have seen this. I want you to appreciate how terrific this is for Mother's Day. And if you just think of, no matter if you're mothers or not, all of us have a mother. We may not have known our mother, we may know our mother, but all of us have a mother, and here it is.
Just give me 1 second.
Sure.
Thank you, sir. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about that.
Anyway. Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot. For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, okay. There are no breaks available.
is that even legal?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay, so like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No, that's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and in culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life. No vacation. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up. We demand that with a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. It's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
But when there's time to sleep or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, well, all-encompassing almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The physician is going to pay absolutely nothing.
No.
There we go.
No, I'm doing it for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free. What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms. That's awesome.
Yeah. Aww.
And they meet every requirement, don't they?
Oh my God. Moms are the best.
Yes, no pain. They're 24 hours. They're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
it's all true. It's all true. That is what our mothers do, and it is gratis. It isn't a paid position, and yet what would we do without them? And mothers seem to be wired for love. They seem to be wired for love, and mothers, especially mammalian mothers, seem to be wired regardless of, not of species, that every species cares for its young, looks after, defends, protects, builds up. That is, so the expression of love goes so much greater when there are children, and then when there are grandchildren or great-grandchildren. And it seems to be, at least in the mother's eyes I've observed, it seems to just be natural. I'd like to pay tribute to my mother, Leela Clark. And Mom, I know when you're watching this, you'll be embarrassed. But I don't care. This is my card to you. It is, I admire my mom so much. She was a woman who came out of high school, and then she went away to college. In those days, it was a normal school. She got her teaching credential and taught for a couple of years. Then she married my dad, and she got pregnant pretty quickly. And my dad, then the Second World War broke out. So in 1942, when my sister was born, my dad enlisted, enrolled, or whatever they did in Canada. He wasn't recruited. He said, I'll go and serve. So he went. So imagine this. My mom's home was in the middle of the prairies. Where my dad was stationed was just off Vancouver Island. So that's about, what, 1,500, 2,000 miles, about that. And my mom decided to take, she was 22 years young. She was just a kid. She was 22. And she decided to take her child, who was an infant, maybe a couple months old, and go to this strange city that she didn't know anyone, thinking she would get to see my dad. During the whole war, she never saw him.
I'd need to see the body.
Couldn't communicate with him. That was all. He was off limits. He was teaching the people in the Canadian Army how to fly right and bomb correctly. He was there. He didn't leave. But she wasn't able to see. Now, here's the part that it just amazes me. At 22, she even had an older sister that had one child who was about maybe 6 months. But she didn't have any support. She didn't have an older sister, a mother, a friend to help her. There she was in a strange big city, looking after this infant. And remember, those were not the days of disposable anything. Those were cloth diapers and washing those things. And I'm just thinking, wow, what courage. What courage to say, it doesn't matter. Could she have stayed in her hometown with her mom and her sister and her brother? But she didn't. She went to be close to my dad. And it amazes me, and I'm humbled by it. And of course, I didn't ever see her as courageous when I was a kid. I saw her as a very outgoing, gregarious woman that was kind of embarrassing to me. because she called attention to herself just by her being. And I, of course, didn't want any attention that could have been negative, because I was very interested in pleasing people and having people approve of me. She was a wonderful mother. She was a stay-at-home mom, so then they returned to the prairies. When my dad got out of the war, they returned to the prairies, and there she raised five children. And again, time before any of these, so my brothers, I was 3 years old, my sister was eight, and my brothers were born. So here she is, with a three-year-old, eight-year-old, and twin boys, who were typical boys. They liked to roughhouse, and they were always going. I remember us going to an exhibition or fair, or like a county fair, and she had a harness for them, because that's the only way she could keep track of them. And I'm really kind of embarrassed to say this, but she raised each one of us. She loved us so dearly. She spoiled us terribly. Every one of us has our likes and dislikes with food. She cooked 6 different meals almost every time. One for my dad, then a different one for all the children. Even a breakfast. Yes, heaven's sake. Heaven's sake. And she did her best to try to get us to eat nutritiously and to eat what was put in front of us. But we were pretty stubborn. I wonder who we learned that from. Anyway, she was amazing. She sewed all our clothes, and she made fabulous costumes. My sister and I have pictures of costumes, Halloween costumes, figure skating costumes. All of them were designed and sold by my mom. And then I didn't think anything of it until I was 22 myself, and I was married to a man who owned a Singer sewing machine franchise. And so he said, my wife sews. So I couldn't make a liar of him. I had to learn how to sew. It's hard. It was really hard. It wasn't as easy as my mom made it look. And I sewed a couple of things. I sewed a pantsuit for his mother, who was also such a good woman. That pantsuit was wrong in every way. First of all, I said, what size are you? Because in my family, there was a size. And we all had that. My mom, my sister, and I all were that size. So she said a 16 or an 18. And I thought, how odd. Wouldn't you be one or the other? No, people don't come like that. But I didn't know that. So I sewed this thing, which was too tight in the bust, too small in the hips, too long in the... Anyway, every single seam had to be taken out and resold. But I gave it to her anyway in this gift of love. I spent, I don't know how many, hundreds of hours probably, because it wasn't my greatest skill. And every time we went to see her, she wore it. She wore it to please me, and all I could see were all of the places where it wasn't right, where it was still a little bit puckered. What a great love, a love that his mom had for him and for me. Later on in life, my mom is a great athlete. She always was. I didn't get that gene. But all the rest of my family did. She would be out playing ball with the boys, with my brothers and his friends. And she was a very exceptionally good curler, which I know you Americans don't, we Americans don't know much about curling. But it's a sport in the prairies, and when it's frozen, it's a really important thing to have an activity that you can do that is somewhat requires some sort of skill and athleticism. And anyway, and so she was a great curler. That led to her being a really good shuffleboard player, because it's the same principle. With curling, you're throwing this great big stone that weighs a stone, I think, and it was really heavy, and you throw it down to the other end of the ring, which is about the end of our sanctuary, maybe a little further, and you're aiming for a certain target. Shuffleboard is the same. My mom and dad loved to play shuffleboard. They played it together, which was really great, and they were good. I can't tell you how many trophies. There were probably 15, 20, 25 trophies that they had won. They had competed all their, and they retired, that's what they did for fun. And they traveled doing it. They traveled to Japan, which, again, this is a woman of courage. This is a woman of adventure. And she would not think of herself that way unless pointed out. So here's what I want to say to each of you about your mothers. No matter how well your mothers parented you, no matter whether they model for you adventure and love and compassion and tenderness, that every single one of them was doing the best they knew how to do. And in some way, great or small, they helped you become the person you are today. It might have been because you wanted what that one had. Or it might have been, I'm never going to be like that. Either way, it still brought you to where you are today and who you are today. Those of you who are mothers still raising your families, my hat's off to you. It's a huge job. It's the most important job in the world and requires more love than I can even imagine. It requires more acceptance and trust and faith than anything anyone could ever apply to do. It's the most important job because the way you raise your children depends on what kind of people we're bringing into the world. And you can absolutely trust that the values, the principle of love, and I have it, oh my, paraphrase, I've got a great quote that my iPad wasn't really bringing up my message very clearly, so I'm going to just paraphrase it. And it's basically this. No matter who your mother was, all of you, all of us, had a divine mother. The divine mother that taught us how to love. It may have been your biological mother. It may have been an imaginary mother. It may have been someone on this planet or something on another plane. But each one of you had it. And you learned from that divine mother how to love, how to give love, how to receive love, how to be this expression of love. One of the stories that I was reading last night came from the Unity magazine Guideposts. And it was a story about a woman who really, really knew she'd be a great mother to daughters. She was gentle. She wasn't very athletic. She was really compassionate. She'd rather read a book than play in the snow. And so she had four boys. And then she was pregnant again, and she prayed for a daughter. She knew that if God really was, God would give her the daughter that she really needed and wanted, so she would feel competent as a mother, because up until then, she'd look at her friends who were parenting boys, and they all seemed to be doing it right. They were roughhousing, they were playing, and she just, no matter what she tried to do, she wasn't that kind of mother. And then she had the ultrasound late as she could leave it, and it's another boy. And she was really disappointed. She said, she had talks with God, are you sure you didn't make a mistake? How can I be a good mother to boys when they need to be strong men? And here I am, kind of a wimpy woman. But she went to the hospital to have this fifth child. All four of her boys came into the room. Each one said, Mom, can I do something? Can I get you some pillow? Can I, are you okay? And she feels honest in that moment. God had made many mistakes. If she agrees with me to be compassionate and loving, kind and thoughtful, exactly the kind of mother that each one of those boys needed to be strong, productive men. Wow, what a great realization. Exactly the way you are, and exactly the way you are not. You are here to honor. This isn't just for women, but it's honoring the women today. To love who you are, exactly how you are. Words and wonders. All of the things you're proud of, and all of the things that maybe not so much. To love them all. To love them all. To recognize that your value is in your beings, and your doingness comes out of that being. It comes out of love. In tomorrow's journal writing, the journal writing is on this, on motherhood. And the quote is,